It's like discovering a distant cousin, a really distant cousin. It's like learning that someone you had barely heard of is actually part of the family. In this case, the family is the Indo-European family of languages. And the umpteenth cousin is a language called Burushaski. It's spoken by about 90,000 people, the Burusho people, and nearly all of them live in Pakistan. A few hundred live in India. Just to give a sense of what it sounds like, here's a joke in Burushaski that we came across online. Well, I guess you had to be there. Look up Burushaski and you'll see it's described as an isolate, a language unrelated to any other language in the world. But Professor Ilya Chashule of Macquarie University in Australia has rescued it from the linguistic orphanage. He says it has similarities to Indo-European languages that are not just coincidence. And Professor Chashule joins us right now. Welcome to the program.
I'm happy to be on your program.
Can you tell us, what have you found about Burushaski? What is it that makes it an Indo-European language?
Well, the crucial point is that the vocabulary that corresponds with Indo-European is core vocabulary, names of body parts, basic verbs, basic adjectives, and also grammatical endings. If you explain the grammar and connect it with another grammar, then you have shown relationship. Only words, and even worse, only stems do not show relationship. You could find that Japanese is related to English if you looked hard enough and unsystematically enough. So that's why it took me 20 years. And, you know, it still needs further elaboration.
Was there some aha moment, some word or pronoun or number that made you think, aha, that's not just a coincidence?
Well, I'll tell you one. Perhaps it's not the best example, you know, technically, but the word for to write in Burushaski is girmina. Now, in ancient Phrygian, which I claim is the closest relative in time to Burushaski, the form gegrimenos means written. And that was so similar, also celestial in Phrygian is uranios, and also in Greek. In Burushaski, it's urunas.
And when you found, for example, the similarities in the word for celestial, I guess it was still possible that somebody who looked at the heavens came from Greece and wandered through the lands where the Burushu people lived, and they took a loan word.
That's exactly right. But 80 names of body parts, for example, the name for brow, as in English eyebrow, is bru and bur in Burushaski, and it corresponds systematically. That's the most important part. Every word you find has to have a systematic correspondence with all the rest of Indo-European.
Well, if you're right, if in fact this is a European language that somehow made it to northern Pakistan, how did it get there? Who are these people that they are so far east?
Well, the ancient Phrygians of the fame of King Midas, who supposedly turned everything into gold, moved, according to Herodotus, from Macedonia, from the northern parts and central, and then to Asia Minor, where they became a large civilization. They overpowered the Hittite civilization, but later were overpowered themselves, so they moved further. They actually reached India very early. So this is like finding a lost, as you said yourself, a lost relative who keeps the family fortune.
Have you heard any reactions from Burushaski speakers to your conclusion that they are Europeans far afield?
Well, they themselves claim that they're descendants of Alexander the Great. But they're skeptical because people have come up to them with thousands of proposals, and they like the idea, and they do think that they're more civilized than everyone else around them.
Well, Professor Chashule, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
This is a linguist, Ilya Chashule of Macquarie University in Australia, talking about the language Burushaski, spoken in northern Pakistan, and he has found that it is a member of the Indo-European family of languages.
This is NPR.